Is the Democratic narrative surrounding January 6th crumbling?
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
And I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake.
Actually, I was shocked this morning. I got up and did something I don't normally do, and it's I read the Washington Post. And as I was looking at the analysis in the Washington Post, they literally claimed that their own narratives had been a failure.
Of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump.
It's interesting for the narrative because the narrative is these are safe, effective treatments, long-term good care. And if that were the case, then nobody would be afraid of an extended period of time for malpractice.
If you go back really not that long ago, as I say, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying.
I'm Jeffrey K. Lyons, and today is Monday, March the 4th, 2024, and this is Narrative Wars. New York's mayor, Eric Adams, suddenly wants to get tough on immigrant crime, and you would not believe whose example he wants to follow. Trump and Biden both go to the Texas border. It's a tale of two border towns. And the lamestream left-wing media react by losing their minds over the Supreme Court announcement that they will take the Trump immunity case. And more rhino Republicans step down from national leadership. All of this and much more on today's episode of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week we posted a story about billionaires and large Wall Street firms which are leaving the state of New York and primarily the city of New York, and they're worth about $1 trillion. Now, we put up this story on our Getter page at Jeffrey K. Lyons on Getter. Well, we want to say thank you for the overwhelming response that we've received from putting up that story. The Narrative Wars posse on Getter was clear. They are rejoicing. Yes, there we go. Yeah, they're rejoicing that the city of New York has lost about $1 trillion in net worth from investors and business transactions. So there are so many comments, I can't read them all. But what is clear is that people are fed up with the woke, left-wing, anti-American rhetoric that circulates around these large cities that are controlled by Democrat mayors. Thank you, everyone, for posting your reactions to that story. I do read those reactions, and I do pay attention to them. Now, looking forward, today, we're going to continue with some of these themes. What's truly interesting is that there is now a Democrat mayor in a major city who's being overwhelmed by crime. Huh, imagine that. As the result of sanctuary city policies. Huh, is that any surprise? He's now pushing back against the city council and the city administration. Well, surprisingly enough, as we take a look at this first story, it's Mayor Eric Adams of, yeah, you guessed it, New York City, still in the news. And Eric Adams has announced, and this was in Politico of all places, February the 27th, 2024, links in the show notes. Adams announced that he wants migrants that are suspected of major crimes to be turned over to federal immigration officers and officials. That would be ICE officials, a proposal that would curtail New York's sanctuary city policy. So here's Eric Adams. You know, you remember when he first got elected, he doubled down. We're a sanctuary city. This is who we are. We're not going to change. Now he's changing. Why is he changing? Well, because his police officers are now being assaulted by gangs of migrants in the city. And he was a police officer himself. So this is very interesting as this is developing. Here's a quote from Adams. He says, "I want to go back to the standards of the previous mayors, who I believe subscribe to my belief that people who are suspected of committing serious crimes in this city should be held accountable." Well, you know, we didn't really hear much about that belief, Mayor Adams, when you got elected. In fact, you didn't express it at all. You just doubled down on, yeah, we're a sanctuary city, until certain mayors and certain governors, actually, I think it was a particular governor that was putting a lot of people on buses all over the country. He was sending them, and quite a few of them went to New York City. And then things started changing. Well, according to this Politico article, past mayors, including Bloomberg, allowed police to hold those arrested and to be charged. And they were also turned over to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Interesting that he doesn't mention Mayor Giuliani. I wonder why. Could it be because Giuliani was a Republican? Maybe that has something to do with it. Giuliani was mayor, 94 to 2001. Bloomberg, he was a Democrat. Then he switched to Republican to get elected as the mayor of New York City. And then he switched after a few years after that, after he was a mayor of New York City, to independent. So he's been all over the map. Of course, he is a billionaire. He's had multiple terms, 3 4-year terms, and he spent $100 million on his reelection campaign. There was de Blasio, Democrat, 2014 to 2021, and currently we have Eric Adams, who is the mayor, elected in 2022. Let's take a listen to this change of heart from Eric Adams, the current mayor of New York City. Let's listen to this. This is CBS News, New York, February 28th, 2024. Let's listen to cut number one.
Hey, Mayor Adams is calling for a change to the city's sanctuary city policy.
He wants more cooperation with federal immigration officials after several migrants were arrested in high-profile crimes. CBS 2's Jennifer Bisram reports.
I don't believe people who are violent in our city and commit repeated crimes should have the privilege of being in our city.
It comes after recent high-profile crimes allegedly committed by migrants, including an assault on two NYPD officers last month and a tourist shot earlier this month during a robbery inside of a Times Square clothing store. Wednesday, police also responded to a stabbing at a Manhattan shelter.
The mere fact we cannot share with ICE that this person has committed 3 robberies, that this person is part of an organized gang crew. Matter of fact, we can't say that and can't communicate with that. That's problematic for me.
Immigration advocates say any changes to the city's sanctuary laws would make New York City unsafe. Currently, the city is prohibited from cooperating with federal immigration authorities if a foreign national has been charged with a crime but not convicted.
Our civil liberties are not up for debate here.
So they've got absolutely loony laws in New York City. If someone who is a illegal immigrant is in New York City and they're committing crimes, well, they can't report that to ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They could in the past. They could under Mayor Giuliani's time as governor, but they can't now. Now, here's the bizarre thing. So immigration advocates are saying that changing the current laws would make the city unsafe? How does that work? So if you're able to take criminals off the street, criminals who are repeated offenders and just happen to be illegal immigrants, how does that make the city less safe? You know, it's sort of this conundrum of up is down and down is up. Absolute insanity. And that last quote in the piece was, our civil liberties are not up for debate here. When did people who are not U.S. citizens have constitutional civil liberties? Answer, they don't. So this is the wacky world of how things are running in the city of New York. Eric Adams is trying to push back, but unless he gets people on that city council of New York supporting it, it's just going to go nowhere. So we'll keep tracking this, but it sure is interesting how he is having a supposedly come to Jesus moment and realizing, wow, there's a lot of crime in the street. Wow, they're beating up on and assaulting New York City police officers. This is not a good thing. We need to get them out of our city. Turning to our next piece, remember how Trump went to East Palestine, the city where there was that train derailment? And then about a year later, Biden goes there. So a year later, who took the leadership there? It was Trump. And of course, Biden was not very welcome when he went there. And here again, we have a case where Trump has been to the border numerous times and he's gone once more. And the president, Biden, now has gone. He's finally gone because of the polls saying this is the number one issue that Americans are concerned about. But here's the interesting thing. Now, take a look at the difference here. And USA Today flags this, February 29, 2024. Playing catch-up on immigration, Biden chases Trump to the Mexican border. Well, how embarrassing. And in the article, it points out that Trump had first announced his visit to the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas. And then, lo and behold, Biden later decided to visit another Texas border city, Brownsville, on the same day. Why would Biden go on the same day? In order to steal headlines from Trump, in order to make the story about him. That's why he did it on the same day. Now, take a look at these two different cities. Eagle Pass, Texas. Trump visited this location, and this is where Governor Greg Abbott announced just recently that he's going to build an 80-acre site for thousands of National Guard troops to be stationed at the border for quick response. And the reason for this action is that hundreds of thousands of illegals have crossed here. And they've crossed for two reasons. First, the access on the Mexico side is easier compared to other locations along the border. And secondly, Eagle Pass is a very small town with a few local resources to respond to, you know, this kind of illegal immigration invasion. How small is Eagle Pass? 28,000 people, little over 28,000, according to the census in the year 2020. Now, Brownsville, Texas, where President Biden is headed on the same day that Trump went to Eagle Pass, Brownsville, Texas, it's a city located in Cameron County, Texas. Brownsville has a population of 192,232 people. So, you know, over 150,000 people more than Eagle Pass, Texas. Of course, they've got much more in terms of resources, state officers and police officers and sheriffs. They've got far more resources available in terms of actual personnel and actual infrastructure in place. And then finally, of course, there was the murder of a Georgia nursing student. Recently, 22-year-old nursing student Laken Riley, and she was murdered by allegedly a Venezuelan citizen, Jose Ibarra, who's been in the country unlawfully. He crossed the border in 2022. And even though he was arrested in New York City last year on different charges, he remained in the country. Well, there's the problem again. Arrested in New York City and not turned over to ICE, not deported. So let's take a listen to this. Cut number two, our tale of two border towns. This was from Fox News, February 29th, 2024. Cut number two.
So just to put it in perspective, the president is to the left of me where the border wall is right there. And the area that he's at is a place where there's low crossings. You know, the swimming that you see, people swimming across the border that you see in Eagle Pass, they can't do that here. This is not shallow water. This is one of the low traffic areas. It's secure. It just makes no sense why, if he wants to see the crisis that the country is experiencing and what we're experiencing in my home state of Texas, you don't come here. Yesterday, there were only six crossings in this entire sector. So the question is, why now and why this area? We know why it's happening, Martha. It's politics as usual. They know that it's the number one issue on voters' minds.
Yo, there it is. The border issue, the illegal immigration issue, is the number one issue on the minds of voters. 10 million illegals and counting coming across the border, and Biden doing nothing to stop it. In fact, they encourage it. They're funding. We covered this in past editions of Narrative Wars, but they're funding this illegal immigration with U.S. taxpayer dollars being funneled into a variety of NGOs. There are apps, there are cash cards, and they're being told how to come into the United States of America. So just to wrap up this story, Eagle Pass is where President Trump was. Brownsville is where President Biden was. Now, Texas is a very large state. We all know this. These two towns are about 5 hours, 48 minutes apart from each other if you drive nonstop. It's almost 6 hours, a little over 300 miles. Brownsville is where the president was. Low traffic area, very little illegal immigration coming across there. And Eagle Pass, high traffic area where tens of thousands of illegals enter on a monthly basis. So Biden is trying to put out a false information, false story that everything's under control. Yeah, because he cherry picks the part of the border that is really not much of an issue compared to other areas like Eagle Pass. This is our dishonest, left-wing Joe Biden, and we need to get rid of him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you found value in this program, please share it with one or two like-minded friends. We rely on listeners like you to keep this program in production. You can also join us on social media on Getter and True Social. Just search for at Jeffrey K. Lyons. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing your thoughts. Your thoughts are important to us. Coming up next, the mainstream, lamestream media react to and go crazy over the latest case which the Supreme Court has decided to take on. So we're going to jump right into this story. NBC News covered this, and they talk about the Supreme Court taking up Trump's immunity case. Now, this case, we didn't think the Supreme Court would take this case. Trump wanted them to look at it, and in December and even January, this case was not looking too attractive to the Supreme Court, but suddenly they took it up. Here's cut three, NBC News, February 28th, 2024.
Let me go to Garrett Haake right now on Capitol Hill. Garrett, what does this mean for the former president politically and as he faces these myriad of cases?
Lester, I've asked the campaign for comment here, and I'm refreshing the former president's social media page because I expect he'll give it, and I expect that the campaign will view this as a huge win, really on two fronts. One, as Laura was just describing, the delay that this will cause. Donald Trump, on the legal and political front, have felt that the longer they can push out any of these trials on any of the charges he faces, the better it is for him legally and the better that is for him politically.
Listen, the entire goal of these fake charges, these cases against Trump, for example, the case in Trump where he was recently fined $355 million in the city of New York for not valuing property correctly. That had to do with Trump taking out loans. The banks did their own due diligence and they did their own valuation of Trump's properties. They had no problem with it. It was all disclosed in the documents. The loans were paid back. The bank was paid the interest that was in the contract. Everybody was happy. So no crime was committed. There were no complaints from the banks. This is just drawing a circle around Trump and coming up with a fake crime in order to punish him. In other words, lawfare. So the whole goal of the lawfare, including Jack Smith and all of the cases in the state of Georgia, all of the multiple charges in the state of Georgia. And we've covered Fannie Willis and that disaster that's going on in Georgia. All of these cases could be dismissed because of this one case that the Supreme Court has taken up. It has to do with presidential immunity. So now they've taken it up, and they're not even going to hear the case until April. The Democrats always wanted Trump to go to trial and be convicted before the Republican National Convention. But now it looks like it's all going to get pushed out, and that may not happen at all. So what are some of the reactions? Well, the lamestream media is absolutely losing their minds over this. ABC News, Supreme Court is doing Trump's bidding, according to ABC News, by serving his desires of, quote, pushing his trials past the presidential election. So they think that it's going to go past November 2024. Good Morning America says that the Supreme Court agreeing to hear Donald Trump's claim that he is immune on federal charges placed the trial and charges on hold for serving the former president's strategy. Good Morning America says that the court is serving a strategy that Trump has to not even be tried until after November of 2024. Here's another one. World News Tonight. This move from the Supreme Court to decide this will delay the federal case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. And if they don't decide in Donald Trump's favor, would there still be time for this federal trial before the federal elections? And on the Today Show, they remark, quote, Trump was given the gift of time by ensuring, quote, the calendar works to his advantage. Of course, they always wanted it to happen in 2024. That's the way lawfare works. But it looks like the Supreme Court is stepping up. But things are changing rapidly day by day. So we're going to continue to track this story. Trump, I do believe, will become the Republican presidential nominee. Well, our final story of the day, it has to do with three recent Mick failures. There was Kevin McCarthy in October of 2023, who got booted from the position of the Speaker of the House. He sulked and resigned at the end of 2023, so he just left Congress. Then there was Ronna McDaniel, another Mick failure. That's Ronna Romney McDaniel, niece of Mitt Romney, who is not going to run again for office this coming November 2024. She stepped down as the chairwoman of the RNC. Yeah. Oh, boy, that's a That is welcome. That is a welcome exit. Goodbye, Rana. Goodbye. And then recently, Senator Mitch the Turtle McConnell, he has just announced within the last few days that he's stepping away from the minority leader position in the United States Senate. Let's take a listen to this piece, CBS News, February 28th, 2024, and see what Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has to say about his departure.
As we always do, we follow the breaking news, and we have a big one today. Senator Mitch McConnell says he is going to step down from his post at Senate as Senate Republican leader in November.
That's right. Senator McConnell spoke about this seismic decision on the Senate floor moments ago.
So I stand before you today, Mr. President, and my colleagues, to say this will be my last term as Republican leader of the Senate. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. However, I'll complete my job. My colleagues have given me until we select a new leader in November, and they take the helm next January.
Did I detect a crackle in his voice? Is Senator McConnell getting choked up about his leaving his position of leadership on the Senate floor of the United States Senate? Well, I don't know. A little hard to tell. He said that he is going to continue as minority leader of the Senate, and that come January 2025, there's going to be a new leader in place. Now, McConnell, like McDaniel, they both are not fans of Trump. McConnell, even though he pretends to be pro-Trump, he just can't stand the idea of welcoming Trump back into the White House. Remember, it was McConnell that pushed this disastrous border bill that would allow 5,000 illegals to come across the border every day before hypothetically saying, oh, that's too many. You know, 5,001 shows up. Oh, sorry, you can't come in. Well, that person will just come in the next day. So it was ridiculous. It just legalized illegal immigration. McConnell, Rhino McConnell, was pushing for that sort of legislation. And it was a joke. The Tea Party patriots, the MAGA movement, they got rid of McConnell. He's gone. Trump has taken over. In fact, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal, and this was March the 2nd, 3rd, Wall Street Journal weekend. This was Saturday, Sunday article in the Wall Street Journal. And the article says just briefly that here is what McConnell said. He said, quote, believe me, he said on the Senate floor, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. And the article goes on to say that McConnell seemed to acknowledge the GOP had already moved away from him and that he was powerless to steer it back. No, certainly the GOP is MAGA country now. The Tea Party, the MAGA movement, it is Trump, but it's much bigger than Trump. And McConnell's out, McDaniel is out, and also Speaker McCarthy. They're all out. Bye-bye. And that's all the time we have for today's program. If you're listening to this show before you vote on Super Tuesday, make sure you get to the polls. I'll be voting for Trump because I support the decisions of the judges that he nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. In addition, I know what kind of judges he's going to put on the Supreme Court when he becomes the second term president of the United States. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's a comforting thought. Until next time for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. Hey! So tired.